up, Checkpoint fam, and welcome to CXP On Campus. I am your host, Jacob Brothers, and also your host is Erica Sidora. Erica, how are you today?
Doing pretty good, Jacob. How are you doing today?
I am doing groovy as heck, but something even groovier is this episode of On Campus. This week in the queue, we're going to be talking about the Valorant Champions Tour with Jack. We're going to be talking about the Unified Esports League. Then we're going to hit you with your preview, and then we're going to round out the show with Fortnite finally being fun. All of that in this episode of On Campus. Don't you go anywhere. Hello again, friends. Jacob Brothers here, Eric Sidora there. And we are joined by a very special friend of the show. We are joined by Jack Bridges. Jack, thanks so much for coming on. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing better now because we are here to talk about the Valorant Champions Tour playoffs for North America. And Jack, you know, this is your bread and butter. So what do we need to know?
Yeah, so this is the Challenger Tournament for North America. So it decides the top two teams that will go represent North America at Masters Reykjavik. And I had to look up how to pronounce that. Masters Reykjavik in Iceland. I think that tournament's happening later in April. But basically, teams from all over the globe come together to play each other in Valorant. And so this tournament decided who was going to go for North America. So a double elimination bracket of eight teams, just like normal. I'm going to go over some of the final matches. So for the winner's bracket final, Optic Gaming played The Guard, in which Optic Gaming took a 2-0 victory to go and secure their spot in the grand final. The loser's bracket featured The Guard versus Cloud9, both top end teams, top of their division. And The Guard actually got a 3-0 victory in the loser's bracket, which was pretty surprising, a pretty commanding victory to secure their rematch against Optic later on in the grand final, in which this is the first time I've seen this. I've seen a team make the rematch happen a lot, but it's the first time I've seen a team complete their revenge game, in which The Guard beat Optic Gaming in the grand final 3-2. So it was a really close match in the end. The top five teams were number one, The Guard, number two, Optic, number three, Cloud9, number four, Exet, and number five, Luminosity. And like I said earlier, the top two teams, The Guard and Optic Gaming, will be representing North America at Masters Reykjavik later on in this year. And yeah, that's the end of the tournament. Optic and The Guard, congratulations to those two for making it.
Yeah, no, this seems like a really surprising tournament from someone from the outside perspective. Because like, if I looked at the name of those teams, I'd have picked Cloud9, Version 1, and Sentinels. That's who I would have thought were like the best teams. And then I see that none of them even make it. So my question to you is, was it expected for The Guard and Optic to be the two teams to make it out, or is the community shocked as well?
I don't think it was shocking for them to make it. I definitely wouldn't say it was expected for them to make it either, though. They both had pretty solid divisional performances. They were both second place in their division. I think The Guard was like 4-1 in divisional grounds. And Optic was 3-2, so they both had some pretty solid performances. I would say the more surprising thing was the performance by Version 1 and Sentinels in the playoffs, because Sentinels won VCT 2021. They got first place overall. And if you don't know anything about Valorant esports, you probably have heard of Tenz or Dapper or Shazam, like some of those top names. And they got dead last in the tournament, and they won it all last year. So it was super shocking to see them just get destroyed in the first round like that. And then the other team, Version 1, were 5-0 in divisional gameplay, and they were first. They were ahead of Optic. Optic was second place in their division, and they were two games ahead, and they lost in the first round to Luminosity, who like didn't do much in divisional gameplay. So Version 1 and Sentinels definitely had some questionable performances, but Optic and The Guard definitely were. I wouldn't say it was unexpected for them to make it there. They definitely had solid teams throughout the entire time.
Actually going to be my follow-up question. Is this a bad look for major teams like 100 Thieves, Cloud9, all of the teams that you kind of expect to be on these important rosters? Is this a bad look for them, or what were we supposed to expect for the VCT Challengers?
Yeah, I wouldn't say anybody had like an outrageously bad look. There wasn't anything eye-opening for any teams. Like I said, Version 1 and Sentinels maybe need to get some reworking done. I would say if anybody kind of had a wake-up call, it would be 100 Thieves. I haven't even talked about them until now because they didn't even make the tournament. Because there's 12 teams and only the top eight make it to the playoff tournament. And they were like 1-4 in divisional play. They didn't even make it. They got ninth place and didn't qualify for the tournament. So seeing them as like a major gaming organization not even qualify when other teams that are, you know, relatively new. Like I think The Guard actually is a relatively new team. So seeing these teams just be at the top while 100 Thieves and these older organizations are falling off is a little disappointing. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. You have the good days and bad days. So I'd say the only real wake-up call would be for 100 Thieves. Sentinels and Version 1, they just need to get some stuff together and for the next tournament and maybe not be so nervous next time, hopefully.
Yeah, just click on more heads, you know? How hard should it be? It's just
it's not that complicated. Just click on heads.
Okay, so last question, most important question. So the Guard and Optic are now moving on to the Masters Tournament. Mm-hmm. What are their chances? Give me the diagnosis. Are they going to go far, or is it going to be like an NAM Lamau kind of a thing?
This will be my first year like keeping track of international gameplay, but I do know that North America isn't great internationally when it comes to many esports. So I wouldn't say their chances are great. I'd say them winning this or getting first and second in this tournament is about the biggest W they could probably take. I don't think they have a real chance of making it that far in the international gameplay. But then again, that could just be my lack of international knowledge. So I don't think they have a great chance, but, you know, maybe.
And time will only tell. Jack, thank you so much for coming on to talk about the Valorant Champions Tour. And coming up next, we're going to be talking about the Unified Esports League after this. Welcome back. Jacob still here. Erica still there. And we are talking about the Unified Esports League. So the Unified Esports League, it's a brand new thing. It was founded by Matthew Eisk, and he's a teacher at Abrex High School in Poway, California. There's a lot of words here. And their first competition was in March 25th. And so the Unified Esports League is working with the North County Special Needs Foundation to organize a special needs division in esports, which I think is actually like the coolest thing ever. This division, to use their mission statement word for word, this division will create a team environment for individuals with special needs so that way they can develop life, emotional, and social skills that are shown to come from team and sporting activities, which rules. About 100 students from local high schools are already involved, and one of those schools is the Rancho Bernardo. Hold on, let me just... About 100 students from local schools are already involved, and one of those schools is the Rancho Bernardo High. And Rancho Bernardo is going to be hosting the next event. They're going to be hosting the North County Esports Championship on June 3rd. And the league is also developing a relationship with UC Irvine, which involves assisting students interested in gaming to attend college and job placement. So if you're interested in joining the Open Division or the Special Needs Division, please contact matthew@unifiedesl.com to get involved. And I want to talk about this on the show because this is honestly one of the most interesting things I've come across in collegiate esports. It's just a community of people that I just didn't think about being involved in esports. And the first thing I thought about was there's already accessibility efforts in video gaming with the Xbox Adaptive Controller. And so I think when you have the pieces in place to where people can play the games, it almost makes sense to then elevate it to that fun level of competition. Erica, what are your thoughts when you hear all this kind of information?
I was actually just dissecting that in my head about how many games that we already play, like Valorant, League of Legends, Rocket League, Pokemon, all of the games that we're accompanied with or used to already actually have accessibility features, but they are not talked about enough to the point where we know. Only the other day when I was tinkering around with like my Valorant settings, I was like, oh, there are a lot of accessibility features for me to use if I needed them, similar to like stabilization or having your hitbox larger. And there are so many features there that needs to be talked about because it's things that we don't usually think we need, but a whole other community really relies on that. And I think it's really important that we're finally seeing more representation and more forwardness in the video game community to actually make that happen.
Yeah, the Xbox Adaptive Controller, because obviously there's a difference between physical and mental special needs. And the Adaptive Controller is for the physical side, to where it's literally just a rectangle with two big buttons. And then there's a bunch of different pieces that you can buy to plug into it to set up for any person with any kind of physical setup to be able to play the games that they want to play. But on the social side, kind of brings us to our second point, because I've always hated the "are esports a sport" conversation, because it ultimately gets nowhere. It's just old people say no and young people say yes, and that's it. But it's interesting for this league when they say, and I quote, that they are using this to develop life, emotional, and social skills through the sporting activities. Because that's pretty much just saying we're going to use the benefits of sports for people who can't play sports. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that comes to your mind, Erica, when you hear that kind of a thing? Because I think that's just crazy.
I think that's an interesting way to put it, you know, like developing life, emotional, and social skills. While I do totally agree that esports also has that, you know, in tandem with social skills, team activity skills, the way it's worded is quite weird. I don't know. How do you feel about it, Jacob?
I mean, I think it's interesting because there have been so many stereotypes when it comes to this kind of thing, right? Of like, oh, you're a gamer, so that way you don't know how to talk to a human being. It's just usually how a stereotype goes. But you know, then a pandemic happens, and then games are even bigger than they once were, and then people kind of had to find community through Discord, through video games. And it's now developing those social skills in people. So it's kind of an interesting like turnaround of culture. And I really hope to see the success of this Unified Esports League. And so once again, if you want to get involved, hit up Matthew at unifiedesl.com. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about our infamous preview review after this. Erica and I are still here, and we're here to give you your weekly preview review. And you'll never guess what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about Halo. And so remember that next week is when playoffs start. So we're in the final leg of the regular season. And there are currently 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that are undefeated. They are all 14-0. And those teams are ASU Kinetic, Buckeye Gaming Collective, University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, University of Knoxville, Texas State, and the Uona Dragons. And so of these teams, I would say that ASU Kinetic, Buckeye Gaming Collective, and Urbana-Champaign have faced the more competitive teams most often because all of the teams have stayed in their division. And so there are a lot of teams where, based off their record, we don't really know where they sit until they cross-pollinate. And so I'd say that these teams have faced more competitive teams more often in their divisions outside of the undefeated teams. There are a lot of teams that aren't undefeated, such as the Ryerson division that we've talked about, where competition is much closer. But I think those three teams are supposed to make a really big splash. And remember that playoffs will begin on April 8th. Erica, what's going on with League of Legends?
Pretty steady lineup for League right now. The most important thing is that the 2023 Riot Scholastic changes have finally come out, and this is always exciting because as we're moving forward with college League of Legends, we are going to adapt to what the environment is showing us. So the major changes we're going to be seeing are 2 skill divisions per regional conference. There will be no more Swiss-style rounds, and there are going to be multiple teams allowed to play from one school. So Maryville, I know you love to have separate teams, and now you can have all your teams in the CLOL conference. There will be more flexibility with partner conferences as well, so it will be a lot more forward and a lot less navigating for us to look through these matches. Next up, we have the MEC 2022. It finally finished, guys, which means all of our regional conferences are finally moving forward, and we are going to be seeing the grand finals slash playoffs soon for CLOL. I want to congratulate Grandview University for winning this because they did incredible. There is nothing more fantastic about seeing a team who has been maybe in like the middle ranks finally climb their way up to the top. So I'm super proud of them. And finally, we are moving on to Proving Grounds. We talked about it last week. We're going to talk about it this week and how many weeks forward it is going to be. But there are some serious teams that are, I say this every time, but they do so exceptionally well. And there were a few teams that blew me out of the water that I actually had high expectations for. I want to say that Dig Academy went up to C9 and they lost terribly, which makes me so sad. But it also makes me so proud of C9 because they weren't doing so hot in the Proving Ground qualifiers. But now, look at them. They're incredible. And I also want to say that FlyQuest Academy faced the same fate against Team Liquid where they went 0-2. And finally, we have the Golden Guardians sweeping up the entire matchups. They are doing so well. This is a team that I never really expected to do so well, but all of their players are communicating. All of their meta changes and all of their style changes are actually being implemented into the game, which you can see between these players and how the skill disparity is showing. And if you want to see more of this gameplay, please check out the LCS on Twitch. And for the rest of our esports world, here are our interns.
Jumping back into the collegiate Overwatch news, NACE and OWCCS are in playoffs. So for NACE, the first and second place in each conference is set, and the conference championships are wrapping up this week. The first and second teams will move on to playoffs, which start on April 4th. For OWCCS, the top 16 from the group stage are moving on to playoffs. Some of those teams include HU Storm, Bay State, Redbirds, Northwood, Maryville, and Boise State University. Playoffs for the OWCCS start on April 2nd. Don't miss any of these matches because they are sure to be great, so make sure you're tuned in to your school's Twitch account or to NACE's Twitch account.
Hello there. With the Winter Major over, congratulations G2 Esports for the win, and the grand finales decided for Spring 2022, CRL is setting up the stage for the Spring Championship. From the Western Conference, the top 2 teams are Columbia and U2 Arlington. And from the Eastern Conference, we have Northwood and Stockton. Whoever wins these grand finales will proceed into the Spring Championship. After this Wednesday, we can witness the best from the East and the best from the West fight mano-a-mano in the Spring Championship. And we can finally put aside who's better in this season, the East or the West? And now here's a funny clip from the Columbia match.
They go down in the game one against this underdog, but no, Columbia just too good. The cream always rising to the top. And that is one thing that Columbia does. They just know how to win games. I mean, they've had games. They've had series.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jose, and this is your weekly CSGO rundown. Let's get to it. Starting off first, the Northeast League play is going into week 9. Carleton University took on SUNY Stony Brook. Stony Brook player Crotomo was looking to be a heavy hitter during the match. Both teams went into the match with 6 wins and 2 losses and tied for second in the rankings. The maps for this match were Inferno, Overpass, and Mirage. Stony Brook won the first round 16-13. Carleton would come back, however, and go on to win the second round 16-7 in a convincing way. Carleton made great strides in 1-1 shootouts, and they were looking pretty strong in the individual duels. Carleton would later repeat their strategy to win in the third round 16-10 and win the match 2-1. Down the line, we're going to see them in a rematch in the conference as the second and third seed, so get ready. The maps for this match were Inferno, Overpass, and Mirage. Moving on to University of Pittsburgh versus Rensselaer Polytechnic. Pittsburgh went in with a record of 6-1, and Polytechnic would go in with a record of 5-2. The maps for this match were Inferno, Mirage, and Dust. Pittsburgh went off, going on to dominate Polytechnic for much of the first round, at one point being up by 9 and winning 16-10. The second round would prove to be much closer, with Polytechnic or RPI going on to win 19-16 in the second round. But RPI's efforts would prove futile when Pittsburgh pulled through for the win 2-1. This has been it for your weekly rundown from my part. See you next time.
Hey everyone, welcome back to your weekly preview review of Valorant. I am Jack Bridges, and since the Battle Academy Winter Saga just ended and the VCT Challengers for North America just ended as well this week, we're going to be getting into a little bit more details about a player to keep an eye out for at the Masters Reykjavik at the end of April. So from Optic Gaming, we have Jacob Whitaker. His Valorant ID is Yay, and he mostly plays Jett and Chamber. And in the North America Challengers Tournament, he was a huge factor in the upset against Cloud9, who was the number one seed coming into this tournament. So he is definitely a player to keep an eye out for, and make sure to cheer for our teams that are representing North America in the Masters Reykjavik, The Guard, and Optic Gaming. And we will be sure to cover that when it comes up. But until then, I'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Hey guys, it's Kevin with some extra CSGO news. We received the Star League's coaches poll, so we'll go over that. In the first place, we have Drexel University going 9-0. And in second place, we have Michigan Tech University going 7-1. In third place, we have Purdue University also going 7-1. In fourth place, we have Rochester Institute of Tech. In fifth place, we have the University of Texas at Austin. At sixth place, we have Mississippi State University. At seventh, we have Michigan State University. At eight, we have Kennesaw State University. At 9, we have University of Central Florida. And lastly, at 10, we have University of Pittsburgh. That's all I got for you guys today. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys. And with that, that was your preview review. Coming up next, we're talking about Fortnite being fun after this. Welcome back for the last time. Your two hosts are still here. And we're here to talk about something that I'm really looking forward to. It's that Fortnite is now fun. It took how many years? How many seasons, chapters, whatever their naming conventions are, but I finally want to download Fortnite and play it because they took out the building. I will admit, that makes me sound like a boomer. It's like, whoa, they took out the core mechanic of their game and now it's fun? But like, honestly, you're playing a battle royale, you see someone, you shoot them, and like a Taj Mahal gets built up. I don't want to shoot the Taj Mahal. I want to just shoot my opponent. And honestly, like a bunch of people are now flocking back to the game to play it. The mode is probably now going to be permanent because everyone was like, wait, we actually enjoy Fortnite now. And it's great. Erica, what are your thoughts about this whole thing?
I have a lot of questions. So is it basically just going to be a run and gun battle royale? Is that what's going to happen?
That's what it seems like. It seems like it's just going to be Realm Royale, but better. I'm one of the 5 people who played Realm Royale, and I really enjoyed it. But yes, it's just going to be the same mobility. It's going to be the vehicles. It's all of that. But when you see someone, you can just shoot them.
I'm excited for it because I never understood the building aspect of Fortnite, but I feel like something will be missing. The foundation of Fortnite will always be building, but now it will be fun. So I guess you lose some and you win some, you know?
I don't know. It's a hard criticism to be like, oh, this function of the game makes it harder to play, so therefore it sucks. There are very few video games where you can use that kind of a criticism. It's like, oh, yeah, Street Fighter is difficult. so it sucks. Like, that's just not how games work, or Elden Ring, if you want to get into that whole fiasco. But it's interesting, because, I mean, it could also just be because, you know, it had building for so long, it was a critique by a lot of people, and then now, this far in, it's removed in special mode, and then people come back. So it could just be a time away thing. I don't know, but I'm assuming that now both modes will just be available at all times. Which then we get into the confusing land of, oh, do you play Fortnite with building, or do you play Fortnite without building? Right, and then you get the tournaments, and it's like, oh yeah, here's a Fortnite no building tournament. Like,
you know what? That's a good question. Would it add more of a competitive aspect now that people are free to not build? So I guess the player divide would be like, oh, here are all the good players that build still and also aim well, and here are the players that don't build at all but also aim well. You know, like, it's, I feel like it's going to cause a rift. Maybe I'm just looking too into it. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, because the verticality changes so much. Mm-hmm. And so it does make it an entirely different game, but the games also probably go quicker. Because you don't have to, like, shoot through walls that just continue to pop up as you try to hit people, and then get into the metagame of, like, editing holes into walls, so that way you're, like, playing this 4D chess with, like, three other people. But, like, I don't know. It's weird, but I love it. And it's great because, you know, Fortnite just has so many things that people love, you know, aesthetically, with all the skins and all the everything. And
concerts.
So... yeah. Right. And so time will tell. Time will tell if this mode becomes a mainstay, if there's tournaments, will there be collegiate tournaments? There's just so many questions. But long story short, people now think Fortnite is fun. With that is our show. Thank you so much for watching. And for more, check out our stuff on checkpointxp.com. And remember that we will always and forever love you guys. Have a great week. All right.
Beautiful.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.